episode 6 of Teal Time with David Teal. I'm Daily Press Podcast Network producer Jonathan Heater, and I'm joined by David Teal.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing great, man. I'm so jazzed for this week. I've been waiting for this for about a month now.
I think we all have.
Yeah.
Since maybe podcast one.
Yes.
Daily Press's Norm Wood will be along soon. We're going to talk plenty of ACC football, a certain game in Blacksburg this weekend.
Rather large.
You can follow me on Twitter at HeatTweets. That's two E's in heat, two E's in tweets. And David at David Teal at DP. That's TEELATDP. I just noticed this as I was walking down here, that both of our last names have a sneaky place where you may want to put an A, and it's two E's.
Very true. I believe, as I'm sure you have, I get a lot of mail addressed to David the Color Teal.
Or you don't get the mail, and someone says, why didn't you respond? It's, how did you spell my last name?
Well, then I have a perfect excuse. At that point, I'm not worried about
it. That's great. And I love that excuse. Feel free to ask us questions or let us know things you want to hear about on the podcast.
Please.
All right, we can cut to the chase. There's no use easing into things.
Clemson, Virginia Tech.
Clemson's coming to Blacksburg this week for, I don't think it's even arguably, the biggest game of the ACC season thus far, and it's one of the biggest games we've seen in the country this far.
It is, and it's, and Jonathan, you look at it, it's one of the biggest games, especially for early in the season, that Lane Stadium has ever hosted. And in no way am I suggesting it's the biggest game. I've been around long enough to know better. In my mind, the biggest game in Virginia Tech history at home was the 99 regular season finale against Boston College. The Hokies had to win to get to the national championship game against Florida State. And BC was ranked number 22 in the country. It's not like this was a walkover. And, you know, the place is going crazy. They bring Frank Beamer up onto a stage after the game, and fans are throwing sugar cubes on the field. You know, it doesn't get much bigger than that. But this is the first time that Virginia Tech has ever hosted a game featuring two undefeated teams ranked among the top 12 by the Associated Press. It's never happened.
Wow. I'm not saying this to make you feel old. But as a kid, I remember watching a lot of those Big East, you know, games with Syracuse and Virginia Tech, Miami, Virginia Tech. They just
– Oh, yeah,
they
West always, Virginia?
Yeah. They were just always – they felt like they were always Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember watching a lot of games at Lane Stadium, a lot of big games. And for you to talk about this being considered among, you know, the biggest, mm-hmm. certainly in the regular season – in Virginia Tech, in Lane Stadium history.
Well, yeah, and you look at just recent history. The teams met in the ACC championship game last year. Clemson is the reigning national champion. Clemson's won 11 consecutive road games. Clemson's won 7 consecutive games against ranked opponents. And I think it's 20-some games in any season before November 1st. It's like in September, October, these guys are lights out, and you know, two great defenses, two starting quarterbacks in their first year in that role. Clemson has clearly played the more difficult schedule, having already beaten Auburn at home and won at Louisville. Yes, the Hokies won or defeated West Virginia in the season opener on a neutral field. But then, you know, East Carolina and Delaware and this past week, Old Dominion. And here's another amazing stat to me, or two amazing stats about Virginia Tech. Since falling behind at East Carolina 17-7 in the first quarter, the Hokies have outscored their opponents 95-0.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes. And then the East Carolina and Old Dominion games marked the first time in program history. Now, the database at Tech only goes back to 1987. But trust me, it never happened before then. The Tech has rushed and passed for more than 250 yards in consecutive games.
Wow.
I'm here to tell you it's not going to happen a third consecutive game because the Tigers' defense is way too good.
We'll get into that in a minute. You've
sure.
seen all but live, in person, all but four quarters of Tech football this year, right?
Yeah, I did not see the Delaware.
And Norm has seen all 16 quarters.
Yeah.
So I'll let you guys have first crack at the game and let you guys talk about it, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Sounds great. Norm, 20 days ago, albeit at a much later hour, you and I sat in the FedEx Field radio booth and talked about how Virginia Tech was going to be 4-0 going into the Clemson game. Well, we're finally there.
Real soothsayers there.
How about that? So after today's 38-0 demolition of Old Dominion, and I don't know about you, I can't imagine a better preparation for Clemson than what Tech had today. Good enough on offense, dominant on defense. They can't control the opponent. Everything that the Hokies have needed to do the last 3 weeks since West Virginia, when we first talked about Tech Clemson, I don't know that you could ask for more from this team.
Yeah, it was pretty complete. I mean, you know, a lot of that has to do with the caliber of the opponent. Like you said, you can't control that. But, it was a huge confidence booster going into to next week for sure. And, I think they probably enter the week probably still a little concerned about the slow starts that they've had in each of the last three games.
And, yep.
That, again, today was one of those, and certainly have bounced back. And, you talk about slow starts, it kind of gets masked by the fact that, they've outscored their, the last couple of opponents here in the last, seven quarters, 95-0.
95-0 yeah. Since trailing East Carolina 17-7.
Yeah, I mean, which is amazing. So, you kind of forget about those slow starts, but same thing could be said for Clemson today. Clemson,
that's 7-7 in the fourth quarter,
and then they turn around and win 34-7 against Boston College.
Yeah, BC of all people.
So both teams have a little bit of a wake up call there going into the big one next weekend here in Lane Stadium. But yeah, man, just a totally dominant performance today against ODU. That Stephen Williams, a freshman quarterback, getting his first career start for ODU. Passed for only 85 yards and 25 in the last three quarters. And I think you said he was 3 of 16 in his last 16 attempts. So,
yeah, with a pick.
With a pick. And, it's funny you talk about, you look at the stats and they don't say much about Stephen Williams, but I didn't think he looked as bad as the stats actually indicated.
No.
He was under a lot of pressure and he eluded a lot of that pressure and got away and was able to do it without committing a ton of turnovers. And he actually looked pretty good, and a lot of Tech's defensive players and Bud Foster were complimentary of him. I mean, he looks like he could be a pretty good player down the road.
I agree. There was one play that stuck out to me. Tremaine Edmonds is coming off the edge, and Stephen Williams looks like meat. Yeah. And he kind of sidestepped Edmonds, pivoted, and then threw like a 13-yard dart.
Was this where he rolled out to the right?
Yes, to Fulgham for
going down toward the south end zone.
Yeah, for a first down. I was like, dang!
It was such a great dodge. He dodged Tremaine Edmonds. It was so well timed that Edmonds and Trevon Hill from the other side of the line collided and actually took each other out.
It was good stuff. But they did. They got pressure on him off the edge. Up the pipe, as Bud Foster likes to say. And Tech's secondary today was great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they blanketed people. They were, as coaches like to say, on point throughout. Josh Jackson finally threw an interception.
Yeah.
And is lucky he didn't have two.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the long touchdown pass to Stephen Peoples, that was a pretty amusing exchange. Or exchanges that we have with Fuente and Jackson post-game.
Yeah.
Talking about their reactions to that play. The head coach, none too pleased.
Yeah, none too pleased. And Josh Jackson saying that it was the first time he ever felt bad after talking to the coach post-touchdown pass. You don't know exactly what was said in that conversation, but we probably couldn't print it anyway. So
no, I wouldn't, at least not from the head coach.
But you talked about the secondary, Tech secondary. I mean, it was – you know, they get aided by the fact that they're getting such great pressure early in possessions, and they just dial it up on third down. I mean, ODU is 2 of 14 on third downs today, and that's a testament to both the pressure that Tech's getting and the fact that, like you said, receivers were blanketed.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Hokies 11 of 18 on third down, and sat on the ball for 38 minutes and 15 seconds.
Burned the last 7.5 minutes of the game away. Just salted it away. You know. Yep. I mean.
And Old Dominion's deepest penetration today, Tech's 49-yard line, ran one play. 49-yard
line. Yeah, 49-yard line. As Dave Johnson, our Old Dominion writer, and he was looking at it on video after the game, and we discovered it was, you know, the spot was by about an inch.
Yes.
Truly about an inch over the 50-yard line. So they penetrated into Tech territory by about an inch. So.
And that was on the first possession.
Yeah.
So they, out of 50 snaps, they run one in Tech territory. And on that fourth and one, Tremaine Edmonds and I think it was Tim Settle stuffed Jeremy Cox for a one-yard loss and turned him over on downs. And I went back and looked at their other shutouts. The last time that a Tech opponent failed to crack the Tech 45 was Duke back in 2005. And on that day, the Blue Devils didn't get outside their own 41, which is just crazy. And Tech won that game 45-0, which won't be the score next week.
Yeah.
At least I don't. If it is, it's going to be on the visiting side.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no kidding.
But I don't anticipate that either. But primetime, two top 15 teams, Clemson, the reigning national champion, teams that, or programs at least, that have a very recent history, having met in the ACC championship game last December in Orlando. We were both there. Terrific game that the Tigers won by a touchdown. What are your initial thoughts?
I mean, it's going to be fun, man. I'm excited. It's the second time in the last 10 seasons you're going to have a number one or number two. And we anticipate that Clemson will stay number one, or we'll stay number two this week, should I say.
Yeah.
First time, second time in 10 seasons you'll have a number one or number two team in the country coming to Lane Stadium. And, of course, that 2015 game against Ohio State, Ohio State was number one. So that's exciting all in itself. But, yeah, now you're looking at, as you mentioned, prime time and an opportunity for Tech to kind of show, as we have talked, you know, and we've talked in that press box there, actually last weekend in East Carolina, we talked about, do we really know what Tech is all about? You'll find out. You'll know next week. We have I think we have a good feel at this point that this is a really good defensive team that starts slow, but man, they can be explosive when they get things going. But they haven't done it against a really strong defense like they're going to see next week, and this is going to be, you know, Tech's gotten the rushing game going now with back to back 250 plus yard games for the first time since 2005.
Yeah, against Carolina and Virginia.
And again, you know, not against the most capable defense, couple of defenses here, but you know, that's at least a confidence booster, and it's going to be, you know, if you look at the way things are falling today, it could be a top 10 matchup conceivably. Tech's 13 now, could jump into the top 10 maybe by tomorrow afternoon. This is everything Tech wants, man. I mean, you know, at this point, we'll find out here, I would imagine, in less than 24 hours whether ESPN College Game Day comes to Blacksburg, and I just don't see how it couldn't at this stage. Yeah. It's an amazing exposure opportunity. I mean, you've got back-to-back weeks, sort of an in-state exposure opportunity this week against ODU, and now a national exposure type situation. And, you know, from a Tech perspective, you know, you want to win that game, obviously, and really put yourself in the picture for national playoff talk, you know. But, you know, since it's national television, we're talking about it, you know, everybody's going to be here. You're going to have national media here. You don't want to embarrass yourself, obviously. And from what I've seen, it doesn't look like they will. I mean, no. It's but this is a different caliber that's coming in.
here's how much I've been obsessing about this game. I have DVR'd each of Clemson's last three games. And, dude, I'm telling you, that defense starting, you know, up front, the linebackers, the back end. Dabo Sweeney says it's the best secondary he's had. But you've got guys.
That defensive front.
Oh, yeah, with Dexter Lawrence and
Wilkins.
And then you've got Dorian O'Daniel at linebacker. And, I mean, they run to the football. And, you know, Tech has been dominating Delaware, East Carolina, and Old Dominion, whereas Clemson defensively dominated Auburn, Louisville, and Boston College. Now, Boston College, granted, offensively is challenged.
Still higher but, caliber than what Tech's seen in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, Clemson defensively is lights out, and Kelly Bryant. He is not Deshaun Watson, and that's no knock on him because nobody is, but he's been excellent. He's got weapons to throw to. They've got plenty of depth at tailback.
Pretty accurate, as Frank Beamer would like to say back in the day. Pretty accurate.
He is that, and one thing was interesting, listening to Bud after the game today. If there was one thing he was a little disappointed in, was that Steven Williams was able to elude the pass rush a few times and a few more times than Bud would have liked. And Kelly Bryant's better.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Bryant won't slide as early as Steven Williams does. And
but good on Steven Williams. He knows how to do that already.
He does. But
yeah, you're right.
But Kelly Bryant, you know, he'll make you pay with a touchdown run.
Yeah.
It's going to be the whole plate, the whole campus is going to come unhinged.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'll have a chance to talk with – I'm scheduled to talk with Kelly Bryant on Monday. So should be interesting to see what he has to say, and hopefully I'll have that for you guys maybe middle of the week or so, readers. So I'm excited to talk to him about just sort of following in the footsteps of, you know, a campus legend, you know, like Deshaun Watson. So, which I'm sure he's talked about quite a bit now. But it's and you know, walking into an atmosphere like this one, which you know will be probably the fiercest home crowd that he's seen thus far for sure. You know, away game. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
So, or should I say away from Clemson anyway? So.
Oh yeah, no question. And if ever Tech was going to need that home court advantage, it would be against this team. Because to me, it's pretty clear Clemson is the better team. Now, how much better, I don't know. The best team clearly doesn't win every week, and Tech is certainly capable of pulling an upset, but you know they're going to be more than a touchdown underdog.
Yeah, but were they going into the 8 points? I think it was.
Yeah, but before today, one of the offshore books had Clemson as an 8 point.
Yeah, 8 points.
Point favorite. So it is. It's as big as it gets for Week 5.
Oh yeah.
Let's put it that way. Well, thanks for your time, my friend. Looking forward to next Saturday.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a blast. I mean, like I said, we haven't seen one here through that stretch of games in the last 4 years of the Beamer era. You know, we didn't see anything like this, and it's been, you know, as I mentioned last week, you know, I've covered this program for 18 seasons, and Teal's seen a lot more Tech football than I have. But, you know, the two of us together probably haven't seen a game with this much anticipation around here since maybe the BC Tech game in 2007,
Matty Ice.
Yeah, you know, which if Tech could have won, they maybe would have wound up in the national title game if things would have fallen the right way. It wouldn't have taken much to get them there. So if it's as exciting as that night, man, we're in for something special.
I just hope the weather's better.
Yeah, no kidding, boy.
We're back, and I don't love to – write stuff down. I like to have more of a free-form conversation.
But you wrote some stuff down. So did I. I've got some notes here.
All right, Clemson defense.
Sure.
Third in yards per game behind Michigan and UT San Antonio. Ninth in passing yards per game. 12th in rushing yards per game. Third in scoring defense behind only Minnesota and Penn State. Mm-hmm. Second in sacks, just one behind Michigan.
Yeah.
The only other teams in the country to rank in the top 15 in both passing and rushing defense is Michigan and UT San Antonio. They're in the top quarter in the country in first downs allowed, passing efficiency defense, third down conversion percentage. And this is really impressive considering they've played Auburn and Louisville.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely is impressive. And it just continues a trend of them being elite defensively under Brent Venables. And we've talked several times on these podcasts. Brent Venables, Bud Foster, arguably the two best coordinators in the country. I'll tell you what, I've been so looking forward to this game that I've been DVRing the Clemson games when I've been away doing my day job. And then I come home during the week and I watch them, and especially the Auburn and Louisville games. It's remarkable. You know, in the Auburn game, the defensive end, Austin Bryant, he's dominant. He has four sacks. Then in the Louisville game, they run this zone blitz package where Bryant doesn't even rush. He drops into pass coverage. Then they shoot Kendall Joseph, a linebacker, through a gap and get Lamar Jackson on the ground. I mean, they have so many options, so many weapons defensively. And I had a fascinating conversation yesterday, Jonathan, with Bobby Wilder, the coach at Old Dominion. And Bobby's great with the media. He gets it, doesn't mind sitting around and talking with us. And so I thought in the wake of them losing to Tech 38-0, I just go over there and kind of try to get a scouting report on Virginia Tech as it prepared for Clemson. And Bobby knew right where I was going. He said, I'll tell you what, right now, where this – he just says, I've watched Clemson on TV. I'm a fan. I watch this stuff. Where this game will be decided is, can Virginia Tech's offensive line handle Clemson's front seven? He said, if it can, then he thinks the Hokies are as good as Clemson at every other position.
Wow.
Now, whether he's blowing sunshine, I don't know. He has a vote in the coaches' poll, and he voted Tech ninth this week.
And he put Clemson too?
I imagine he did. Yeah, behind Alabama, bam. And that's where I voted in the football writers Super 16. I had Clemson 2, I had Virginia Tech 12, and that's exactly
that seems about right.
And that's exactly where they are. So I for better or for worse, I was with the consensus there.
Virginia Tech's been very impressive, obviously. But you can't elevate them too much based on competition.
No.
And then a good win to start the season. Yeah. But since then, they've done exactly what they're supposed to do. Saturday, you know, if they want to climb higher, you know, there's an easy chance to do that. You beat Clemson, who knows how high you shoot.
And then on the flip side, if Clemson wins Saturday, I'm voting them number one.
I watched a lot of football this weekend. And Saturday sat around, I think I probably sat around all day. Now, I was gone for 2 weeks
right. On
a wedding and a honeymoon, and I told my new wife, I'm watching football today. I want to sit around the TV. Wish there was a better weekend for games, but I watched a lot of football. And
I bet you she did too. She's a former sports writer.
She watched quite a bit of football. And I think one of the prevailing thoughts among a lot of people I listen to, and mostly, you know, the talking heads on ESPN,
mm-hmm.
some people think that Clemson is the best team right now.
You can make the case based on performance. Now, I was all prepared to elevate Clemson to number one had Alabama not just smoked Vanderbilt.
How about that pregame narrative that Vandy may keep it competitive?
Yeah, not wrong. So much. 49-0 was the final.
Yeah, I was 56-0.
Okay, it was
a lot of points.
It was a lot to
and
nothing.
Zero for Vanderbilt at home.
Yeah, that's right, in Nashville.
in the very unfriendly confines of Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, so the one thing that Clemson hasn't done successfully or hasn't been really good at this year is turnover margin.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're -2 in turnover margin. They just haven't had – I don't think they have any interceptions.
Yeah, they don't have many takeaways. Yeah.
Haven't forced maybe three fumbles, two or three mm-hmm. fumbles. facing a freshman quarterback, I imagine one of the things, you know, they're going to emphasize is trying to take the ball away.
Mm-hmm. But Josh Jackson
has not turned it over.
He has not. He threw his first interception Saturday on a slant route where he got baited and the Old Dominion safety made a heck of a play. But Jackson ranks 8th in the country in pass efficiency, number 1 among freshmen, and he leads the ACC in passing efficiency. He's thrown 11 touchdown passes and one pick.
20th in the country in passing yardage. He's thrown for 1,127 yards, and like you mentioned, the 11 touchdowns. And just the one interception.
Yeah.
65% completion percentage.
Yeah. Hard to argue. And on the flip side, Kelly Bryant has been just as impressive in his first season as Clemson started. He's more of a threat with his feet than is Jackson. And I think I'd argue he has more big play receivers at his disposal in Deion sure. Kane and then Ray McLeod, who caught a long one against Louisville in that game a couple weeks back, and then Hunter Renfrow, more of a possession slot guy, who's really good. And you know what's going to be interesting is special teams, because and I don't mean to veer off here on you, but it just kind of popped into my mind. You know, Clemson lost its field goal kicker last week for the year to an ACL, Hugel, and Virginia Tech's place kicker has been struck. Joey Sly, I think he missed maybe three or four kicks inside 40 yards his first three seasons combined, and he's already missed three this year. So special teams might indeed play a role Saturday night.
So I think one of the things that is a huge factor, certainly on Virginia Tech's side, is margin for error. So, in fact, you don't even have to hear me talk about it. Right. Let's listen to Justin Fuente talk about margin for error.
Well, you're not going to get away with much of anything. I mean, you make a mistake, they're gonna make you pay. I mean, there have been some things here and there on defense, some things in special teams, and some things offensively. That you know, we'll if we make those mistakes, or really even you don't even have to make a mistake, you can take one step in the wrong direction, you know, or hesitate for a half a step when you're playing the type of talent that we're going to go up to. It's like diffusing a bomb, like one small snip of the wire that's incorrect, and boom. You know, you blow your hands off, and that's just how talented and how good they are. And so, I mean, making sure that we're on point with everything we're doing, crystal clear in our directives and our assignment, being able to play well, because everything will be difficult. A first down will be difficult. A defensive stop will be difficult. Punting the ball and covering the punt will be difficult. It's just all amplified. I'm not exactly answering your question, and I apologize, but it's, you know, every step you take is amplified when you play talent like this.
So, I mean, he talks about it may just be, you know, the wrong guy in the wrong spot, and that's a possible touchdown. I mean, when you play teams that are this talented, you can hang with them for three quarters, and then you know, you saw Boston College did it on Saturday against Clemson. You hang with the team for three quarters, you make one, you miss an assignment, 6 points, and then you know it can snowball.
And it did. Clemson scored 27 points in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden a 7-7 game becomes a 34-7, and you look at it and you think, oh, blowout.
Right.
Well, not really. And you know, Virginia Tech fans can say, hey, we scored 34 in a quarter at East Carolina a couple weeks ago. That was in the third quarter. So both offenses have shown an ability to be explosive. Tech scored on 9 consecutive possessions at East Carolina. Saturday against Old Dominion, they had a six possession stretch where they scored 5 touchdowns. But Old Dominion got worn out. They very few football games have I seen where one team did not penetrate any deeper than the opponent's 49-yard line.
Not very often. No. You get a good high school game to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that and that's what happened Saturday. That's how overmatched Old Dominion was up front and how locked in, to their credit, the Hokies were defensively.
So you can maybe look at the Boston College game as an example of a team doing some things well or Clemson not executing to keep it close. Is that – if you're talking to a Virginia Tech fan, what do you tell them – what are the flashpoints that they should look forward to where Virginia Tech can have success? What are the things that either Virginia Tech has to do right or Clemson has to do wrong?
Well, turnover margin, you mentioned – if Virginia Tech can win that battle, and I think Virginia Tech needs to run the ball as well as possible against Clemson, at least make Clemson respect the run to the point where it forces them to bring more people toward the box and opens up the passing game and allows Cam Phillips and Sean Savoy to win some of those one-on-one battles on the outside against what Dabo Swinney says is the best secondary he's ever had.
The prestige of different position groups and different players in this game is crazy because if people have been around this long and you start to hear the best this or the best that. Mm-hmm. That shows you just how dangerous, you know, that team could be. That being said, Clemson won a national title last year. And they lost to Pitt?
Yeah, at home.
At home.
I mean, and arguably should have lost to NC State at home.
Right. So execute. We talked about this in the first episode. They played with fire a lot last year in the regular season. If a team executes, Virginia Tech's certainly good enough to beat them. If Virginia Tech executes its game plan perfectly.
Right, and you're playing at home and, yeah. the joint's going crazy, I'm sure it's possible.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, nor do I. I've seen, as you referenced, I've seen three of Tech's four games. I've watched three of Clemson's four games on TV video, and I think they are better. Are they? What's the line now? Eight.
Big line at home.
It is
for a top 10-ish team.
Yeah, it is a big line. I think it shows the respect that folks have for Clemson. But yeah, I think at game's end, you know, Clemson is still undefeated, and Virginia Tech could arguably still feel very good about it itself and its chances of winning the Coastal.
I think it's certainly within the realm of reason that this is a preview for what we see in December.
Could very well be.
And I think Virginia Tech's going to be competitive and keep it close. I just think at the end, they're just not going to have the firepower.
Right. And this would – and if it does come down to Clemson and Virginia Tech in Charlotte in December, and we've talked about this before, kind of the cycles of sports. This is the first time Tech's been 4-0 since that 2011 season where their fifth game was at home against Clemson. And that very season, they went on to the ACC championship game and again faced Clemson. And by the way, Hokies fans will not like that. They lost both of them.
Yeah. It's a lot to ask, even at home, a freshman quarterback to deal with a defense that is this good. And, you know, the same can be said for Bryant. I mean, he's going to be facing both defenses are pretty aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Both coordinators have been around the game a long time and know how to antagonize an opposing quarterback and to break up game plans.
Yeah. Hey, let's not forget Clemson scored all of 14 points at home against Auburn.
Right.
So it's not like they're incapable of being defended.
Sure, and I mean, if you're looking at the two sides of the ball, the offense is the weaker side, without question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Bryant continues to develop and is a weapon rather than a piece of the offense, then yeah, I think that you put them right there with Alabama as a team, is one of the two favorites, maybe Oklahoma, to win a national title. But it can't be like Jalen Hurts, where he's someone who manages the game And when the big game comes, he can't make plays in the second half, which is what doomed Alabama, I think, in the national championship game. That and not being able to stop Deshaun Watson.
That played a very large role.
But if they could have gotten much going offensively after Scarborough got hurt and Hurts couldn't do anything, you know, they would have won the national championship. And I think Bryant has to develop a little bit more for them to be the team that is there at the end of the season.
And I think he will. I like what
got,
I see of
he's,
him.
He's got the great build, and he's certainly got the coaching.
He does, and he seems to have the instincts, and just the, you know, the God given ability. I've been really impressed by him.
And the other thing, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. We were talking about how good the Clemson defense is. Two of these offenses that they've stopped include a Heisman Trophy winner, and if you were putting together a list of the top 15 best offensive minds in college football, you would think that Malzahn and Bobby Petrino would be in that list.
Absolutely. And now what they were terrific against Lamar Jackson. I mean, they just bottled him up. And it's one thing to rush the passer. It's another thing, Jonathan, to do so with discipline. And I thought especially against Louisville, they were so good at that, staying in lanes.
Yeah.
And it was almost like the pocket just kept collapsing, getting smaller and smaller on Jackson, and he literally had nowhere to go at times. And that's what you have to do against a Michael Vick type, against Lamar Jackson, is you can't let him break contain.
You're done.
Yes, you are.
Because he's going to find someone open or he's going to run for 30 yards.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Virginia Boise State.
Let's downshift. Hey.
How about that? I was wrong.
So is it. Now, hey, I called it as soon as the line came out. And
what was the line?
The line was like 12. It opened at 12 and a half. And I tweeted that day, that Sunday night, I like the road team here to cover.
Yeah.
Now, did I like the road team to win? Probably not. Did I like the road team to kick their backsides? No. And, hey, that second half, we were in our hotel room, Dave Johnson and I, in a hotel room in Roanoke getting ready for Tech Old Dominion the next day. And we're watching that second half saying, hey, now. Now, that's not the Boise State of old, clearly. But defensively, you know, Micah Kizer and Quinn Blanding continue to light it up.
Kizer's right there, the stack leaders in the country.
Yeah. Eli Handback at nose guard has given him terrific play. And when that nose guard in the 3-4 can occupy those offensive linemen, it allows linebackers such as Kizer and Jordan Mack to rack up the stats and the tackles. And then, Jonathan, you look at the offensive side, and I wrote this down because I want to get it right. Last year, Virginia was 127th out of 128 teams in scrimmage plays of 20 yards or more. They had 36 of them. Only
for the whole season?
Yes, that's three a game.
Yeah.
Only Rutgers had fewer. This season, in four games, Virginia has 21 plays of 20 yards or more. That's on pace for 63. Virginia has more big plays this season than Alabama.
Wow. Benkert has been really, really good in the wins.
Benkert has been terrific in the wins, and he has found his deep guy in Andre Lavroni. And I'm going to have a story on him later in the week. And again, I've written this down. Among receivers with at least 10 catches, Lavroni is third in the country in yards per catch.
Wow.
26.8. And he caught that, you know, that first possession of the second half Friday night out in Boise, you know, because Boise had cut the lead, I believe, to a touchdown or maybe even less at halftime. And then Banker just uncorks that pass, and he hits Lavroni right in stride for the 73-yard touchdown. It was textbook. He threw it as far as he could, and Lavroni ran as fast as he could, and it hit him with his arms extended. You couldn't. It'll be in Virginia's highlight reel, no matter how the season goes.
He's I mean, his numbers are very close to Jackson's in terms of 10 touchdowns, one interception, almost identical completion percentage, a little bit, few more yards. But I went to dinner Friday night in Hampton and got home and turned on the game and thought that maybe I was missing something. And then they just kept – it wasn't like they got out to a good start, and they just kept piling it on.
They really did. And
how long has it been since a Virginia team – you've seen a Virginia team like that pile it on, a team like that?
Well, it's Virginia's most lopsided road win since 2012, I believe it was, at NC State.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been even later than that. And that was a decent NC State team, or we thought it was, and Virginia beat them 33-6. So it was really impressive. And he, you know, talking about number, here's a statistical anomaly. Virginia has fumbled 9 times this year, has recovered every one of them.
Well, that's playing with fire.
No, that's what's called clean living, brother.
I'll tell you that I saw ESPN, whatever you make of the ESPN Power Index, right. It gave UVA a 20% chance to win. And then they were the fourth least likely winner in all of FBS last week.
Really?
Based on the Power Index. By the way, NC State was the least likely team to win.
Wow, that surprises me. I think most of us gave NC State a puncher's chance,
yeah,
simply because it was Blackman's first career start, sure, and Florida State hadn't played in 21 days.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. I didn't mean to jump ahead of the script.
Cavaliers, the third most efficient offense in all of college football last week, behind Oklahoma and Alabama.
And offense has been, well, everything has been the issue in Charlottesville. But offense, in particular, they just haven't gotten the quarterback position right.
Sure.
But Bankert is healthy this year. He's leaner. He's quicker. His offensive line is better. They made a critical adjustment. The first game of the season, Jack English, their projected left tackle, is suspended. So they start a redshirt freshman out there. It's never a good idea to start a redshirt freshman offensive tackle, especially a left tackle. But his name is Dylan Reichensmeyer. Then English comes back. He takes over at left tackle. The redshirt freshman moves to center to start, which allows Feeler to move to right guard, and they've been much, much better on the offensive line.
Usually musical chairs up front isn't a good recipe.
Well, but it was made necessary by that,
sure,
by,
yeah,
that suspension, yeah, for the season opener. But they've made that adjustment, and they've been really good since.
Is it good? I guess you could look at this two ways. Is it good to have an off week after traveling across the country and playing in an environment like that? Or would you like to be back to having momentum and playing that well, getting back on the field this week?
Well, especially since the game was Friday night, I think in a perfect world where I, Bronco Mendenhall, I would have preferred to play this week. And to jump right into conference play.
They played so well the other night, and you,
yeah,
would think that that's something maybe you could bottle up. And you never know what's going to happen with a week off. Now they're at Chapel Hill, in Chapel Hill next week.
No, home against Duke.
Home against Duke.
Then
that's
in
right.
Chapel
that's right.
Hill.
That's right. Week off. They host Duke, which is, we'll talk about them in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Then they are at Chapel Hill.
Yep.
Host Boston College at Pitt. It's conceivable they could go 3-1, and they're going to have to go 3-1 during that stretch probably to make a bowl, right?
You would think the way the season closes for them, schedule wise, because it's so backloaded. But at the start of the season, you're thinking, okay, yeah, they could hang with Duke. They've beat them two straight years.
Sure.
They won in Durham last year. Sure, they can beat Duke. Can they beat Boston College at home? Heavens, yes. Most anybody can beat Boston College at home. But at Carolina and at Pitt, you're thinking, no way. But right now, you can make the case that Carolina and Pitt are the two worst teams in the Coastal Division.
I think you could make the case. Pitt, on Saturday, Georgia Tech fumbled the ball 4 times, and they went 3-and-out on all 4 recoveries. That's insane.
Yeah, you got to take it. And Pitt has quarterback issues.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
I mean, they switched during that game. They were,
yeah,
switching.
Right, they're going back and forth. We said on the podcast, one of the first ones we did, that even with this the dismissal of Georgia Tech's leading running back from last year, that Georgia Tech always has running backs.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Kervante Benson goes for $196 against Pitt on Saturday. So, you know, that offense, they're going to run the football. And I think Georgia Tech can keep it going this week against Carolina.
I think so, too. I think that I don't want to jump too far. I know I'm bouncing back and forth because I do have a list of things.
Okay.
That I want to talk
about. Don't let me get you.
But they close back to Virginia. They close with Tech, Virginia Tech, or sorry, Georgia Tech at Louisville and at Miami at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
That's
brutal.
That is brutal. They 3-1, which we thought going into the season that they needed to get to their six wins before that Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Duke game is going to be the big one. And I think Duke's going to beat Miami this week.
Do you really?
I do.
And that's Friday night, if memory serves.
It is Friday. There is nothing like
Friday night football
Wallace
at Wallace
Wade Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. That's a shame that game's on Friday night.
Yeah, and David Cutcliffe and I agree, none too pleased that it's on Friday night.
Is that it's in Duke? It's in Raleigh. I mean, in Durham.
Yeah, no, it's part of the ACC's contract with ESPN.
So
they must have X number of Friday night games.
Thursday night would have been a good spot for that. I mean, I know some coaches don't love the Thursday night games, but it's a nice national showcase for the conference. Friday night, there's not going to be as many people glued to the television.
No, agreed. I mean, I like it. I'll watch it anytime,
sure.
And I'm waiting. I'm probably in a hotel somewhere getting ready for a Saturday game, so I like having a college game to watch, especially an ACC game of some intrigue, and especially the Coastal Division, since that's where Tech and UVA reside. I'm really interested, and it's Miami's first visit to Durham since that crazy 2015 game that was settled on that bizarre, eight lateral kickoff return that shouldn't have been allowed and got officials suspended and all kinds of repercussions. But, an interesting early test for Mark Richt's Hurricanes. As you talked about last week, you thought they'd have a little bit of a tussle with Toledo and sure enough, they did. But Mark Walton at Miami, he ran for more than 200 yards.
Yeah,
he's the best running
really
back.
Well.
He's the best running back in the league. Apparently, he tweaked an ankle in that game, and he's got a short week to get rested. And they'll need him Saturday. That's a terrific test for a terrific barometer of Duke's defense.
It's a terrific barometer for the Coastal in general, right? Like, it's one of the first shakeout games that we're going to see. You know. I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't you say the word assuming? If Tech loses on Saturday night to Clemson, I mean, that's your front runner, right? The team that would have gotten a win against another one of the contenders.
Yeah.
And there's four. I think there's very clearly four contenders for the Coastal now. I don't think Virginia would have to continue improving at a very rapid pace to be in that discussion.
I agree.
Duke may not be there yet. You probably are a little bit more hesitant to put Duke in there than I am.
I am. And we'll see. For the first time in history, Duke and Wake Forest are both 4-0.
That's pretty impressive.
How about that?
Speaking of Wake Forest.
Am I good or what? And I'm not looking over your shoulder and reading your script.
They are undefeated. They survived
Appalachian State. If App State had a field goal kicker, that one might have been different, right?
Now they get the Florida State Seminoles, winless Florida State Seminoles at home.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is a get-right game for Florida State.
I think so. I mean, this is the first time Florida State's been 0-2 since 1989.
Yeah, I saw that. First time they've been out of the poll in four or 5 years, right?
Yeah. And that 89 team, by the way, won its last 10 and finished number 4 in the polls.
That was the run where he had a team in, the top three for, 10 years, something like that?
Forever. No, it was one of the great dynasties in college football history. I think the biggest question about Florida State now is, does Florida State get to 6-5 to to continue its bowl streak. Now, I know the NCAA doesn't recognize it because of some sanctions and stuff, but that's all hogwash. Yeah. They played in those bowls. But Florida State still has to play Louisville, still has to play Clemson, still has to play Florida. I mean, they're already sitting there with two L's.
And Miami?
Yeah, and Miami.
Yeah.
They go 0-4 there. They're looking at 5-6 because they're only playing 11 games.
Yeah. I think I watched a lot of that game. I watched almost the whole game on Saturday.
Did you? I didn't get to see that much of it.
I thought Blackman, his numbers weren't awful. And part of that was because a lot of it was check down, easy throws. Downfield, he was not good.
Right.
Especially when they were trying to make a comeback, he missed a lot of wide open receivers.
And he had a bad red zone fumble, too.
He had a bad red zone fumble. He lost his number one receiver, I think, in the first half. But he's going to – I think they have enough talent around him, especially on defense, where they should – they'll get better. They're not going to stay at this level. But – you're right. All those games are toss-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's...
For a team that was considered a national championship favorite.
Yeah, it was the ACC favorite. But again, I think it's a tribute to the league and its depth where the loss of one player, granted the starting quarterback on your preseason favorite, and now all of a sudden, knotheads like you and me are sitting here talking. Are they even going to make a bowl?
If you were, you've got probably a little bit more encyclopedic brain than I do about these things. But I can't remember a team losing one player going from where they were to where they are that quickly.
Yeah, but you know, let's remember who they've played. They've played a pretty good NC State team that lost to South Carolina in the season, but a veteran NC State team with a very stout defense. Oh, and by the way, they played Alabama,
the best team in the country.
Yeah. And they wouldn't be sitting here in this 0-2 straight if they hadn't had the cancellation, that weather cancellation. And who knows if they'd had that game, if Blackman had had that game.
Sure. I will tell you this. The ending in the post-game stuff with Bradley Chubb was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because he played an unbelievable game.
Yeah, he did.
It was like I watched the Thursday night game in the NFL. And Aaron Donald was completely unblockable in that game, which is so hard to see from an interior lineman.
Yeah.
You saw him play in college. He's monster.
He was great.
If he was 2 inches taller, he would have been a top three pick. I saw the same thing out of Chubb. They double team him. I mean, he was unblockable in that game.
Yeah. No, he's superb, and it is without question the strongest position in the ACC, the defensive line. When you look at NC State and Florida State and Clemson and Virginia Tech, you've got some really, really elite-level college players there.
So Syracuse, we had talked about them last week.
Gave LSU more than –
Gave a little bit of a run at LSU. They got NC State this week.
Mm-hmm.
Can NC State, one, keep their momentum? Two,
correct.
Do you see them as a threat for the number two spot now in the Atlantic?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the only other team that would be in the conversation, or the only team, Florida State's still in that conversation, and Louisville. So, absolutely. I mean, NC State's got a leg up simply because it's got a road win against one of the other division contenders. And, and NC State should take care of business against Syracuse. That's the measure of a solid program. When you win the games you're supposed to win.
And then they have a short week with Louisville the next Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously a huge game.
Yeah, and I think if memory serves, that game's in Raleigh.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit. Both of us agree that Clemson maybe have a little too much for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be great stuff, though.
I like Duke. You like Miami?
I like Miami, yeah.
And then everything else, I'm sure we're we both agree that Virginia Tech, or Florida State's going to beat Wake.
Yep.
And that Georgia Tech's going to beat North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
NC State will beat Syracuse. I didn't write about any of the other games, but I don't think we want to spend a whole lot of time talking about Boston College.
No, we'll spend some time talking about Boston College next week because they host the Hokies.
We will, and we will talk. I'm guessing this is the first of a two-part series on Virginia Tech Clemson.
We'll have plenty of post-game chatter, no doubt.
All right. Good luck. Have fun. And hopefully it is a loud and raucous and competitive atmosphere.
Hope so. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thank you.